Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we're in the chapter 5, How It Works. We're going to be taking apart paragraph 2 today on page 58. Paragraph 2, page 58 of the big book. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne B., the 12 Traditions, Cindy K., the readers of the text and support today is Kara L., Shannon M., and Sarah T. Later on, we're going to be talking with Wendy B. for newcomers and sponsors and Leslie M. for announcements. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting, that would be Monday, September 30th, 2019. Is 13460, 13,460. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting this morning that happened already today, Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, that share ID number is 13462, 13,462. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne B. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas, 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joanne B. I will now ask Cindy K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K., recovered in Kansas City. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeater Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles over personalities. Have a great one, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Please make note that this is a star 1 function only, please, on your phone. No other method is helpful in technology when you're muting your line. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the Chapter 5, How It Works, on page 58. We're going to unpack paragraph 2 today, and it starts with our stories disclosed and ends with ready to take certain steps. And I'm going to ask Kara L. to please open this meeting up by reading that paragraph and sharing her comments. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. Oh, wow. You know, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. I was just thinking this morning as I was doing my meditation and morning connection with my higher power first thing, and the thought popped into my head, I am living my life, the life beyond my wildest dreams. And I've heard that phrase before in meetings, and I was like, that can't be real. People can't be feeling that. And I'll tell you, not much has changed in my life. What's changed is me. Changed, my whole attitude has changed towards life. And have that happen. That happened by working new steps. That happened by having a spiritual experience. And, you know, I'm 16 years in the program, recovered as of January 1st this year. And I truly believe that all those years were more and more getting me ready so that when it was said, if you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. And I used to sit in meetings and I would hear people who had been here a long time, and they would say, it took me 8 years, it took me 11 years. And my story is it took me until I was ready. And I'll tell you, when I was ready, as my sponsor says, a toothpick could have sponsored me. Because we went through the steps and I did absolutely everything she said, and we did it quickly, about 8 weeks. And I am blessed to have a guide that took me through, that was also recovered and an example for me. And I'm so grateful today. I can't tell you what it is that made me ready. All I know is that I was ready and the steps worked. And today I live my life as it's designed for living. And I work the steps every single day of my life. And I open my eyes and I say, grateful am I, God. Show me how to be of service today to you and to my fellows. And I am living the life beyond my wildest dreams. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 58 of the Big Book. If you would give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, we can start our next group of folks that are going to comment.
Donna B.
Hi, Donna.
Marie S. Carrie.
Bonnie M.
And Bonnie.
Kristen R.
Kristen.
Joanne B.
Joanne B.
Ida A.
Ida A. Let's go with that. Thanks. That's good. Okay. Let's see if I have this good right. Donna B. Carrie S. Bonnie M. Kristen R. Joanne B. And Ida A. Okay, Donna, would you please take it away?
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver. Really grateful to be on the line today. Today is my belly button birthday, and I'm feeling especially grateful for where I am in my life today. What I really wanted to focus in on is if you've decided you want what we have. And my sponsor is very different from me. The way that our lives are different, just very, very different. And this doesn't say to me, if you've decided you want your life to look exactly like my life. It says, if you've decided you want what we have, and what is it that my sponsor has that keeps me continuing to live in the work, continuing to be willing to go to any length? Because I think going through the steps one time through is not sufficiently going to any lengths for me. For me, going to any lengths and taking certain steps is continuing to do that on a daily basis, no matter what. So what is it that I saw in my sponsor? I saw that her life was even more challenging than mine. I saw that she was facing challenges that were bigger than the challenges I was facing. As a single mother, I saw that she had to tap into resources within herself even more deeply than I had to as a mother married to a very supportive and helpful husband. And despite all the challenges in her life, she was completely and entirely abstinent, present for all the things that were going on in her life. And no matter what happened, she remained abstinent, she kept showing up, and she was willing, despite everything going on in her life, to be present and available to carry the message to someone like me. And that's what I wanted. More than I wanted everything in my life to just change to be what I wanted it to be, I wanted to be able to be present and to show up for the life that was being presented to me in such a way that I didn't have to numb myself out with food, and in such a way that I didn't have to try to control all the players in my life, but that I could. Oh, I love the promise.
Time.
We relax and take it easy. We do not struggle. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Carrie, it's your 3 minutes now, and then Bonnie M. will come in after you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Carrie S., recovered in Golden, Colorado, and starting my timer. For me, this reading talks about these three aspects that we can share our general, in a general way, what we were like, what happened, and what we're like now. And I was taught to listen and identify with, you know, A, the pain and the misery of the illness, of what it was like when I was powerless. And so if I have 3 minutes, I can break it up and say what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And so if I'm in an Overeaters Anonymous room and I'm listening to a story of depth and weight, I'm going to hear the desperation and the misery of what it was like, of how this illness chokes me out, makes me powerless, makes me seek to find in another person a message of depth and weight. So I'm listening in the rooms. I'm listening on the line. I'm very attuned to hearing that message. So what happened? The desperation got so great that I began asking myself questions of, where is my life not working? How effective are my own efforts? Do I really want my life to change? And what changes would I like? And so I'm listening in the rooms. I'm listening on the line. Do I hear in another person that promise of recovery? Am I able to connect with that person and say, you know what? It sounds like their life has these promises, and they've admitted that they can't do it, and they're starting to be able to say God can do these things for them. Their higher power can do these things. And so here we are in chapter 5, step 3, showing us that I think I'll let God. I'm at a place in my recovery now. I think I'll let God do it. I'm not going to be the one to continue to try to do it, because that has not worked. And so here I am in step 3, turning my thinking and turning my actions over to the care of God. There's somebody unmuted typing. And so I'm going to remain abstinent because it is going to give me the ability to do what was so graciously given to me, which was somebody took the time to go through this work line by line with me. And because of that, my life is miraculous today. So if you're still struggling, this really works. And I'm so grateful for a vision for you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. Carrie S., Bonnie M., it's your turn, and then Kristen R.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M. from Arizona. And I had to plug in on this paragraph because I have such memories of who I was before I came into the program, which was basically miserable in terms of, I was a chronic dieter. And prior to coming into this program, I was not overweight when I came into the program, but I absolutely was a white-knuckled thin person. And I had had lunch one day with the guy that wrote the book Diets Don't Work, and I introduced myself as a neurotic thin person. And after having lunch with me, he said, "You're not a neurotic thin person. You're a psychotic thin person." And at the time, I laughed, but the guy was right. And then I had a client who wanted to go to OA, and I had some big judgments about OA. like, oh, they just pray to God and the weight's going to fall off. But what I did was I went to a meeting to check it out, and that was in the middle 80s, and I never left. And the reason I never left was, and I had no idea really what spirituality was or serenity was, and I didn't understand the 12 steps. But what I saw in that room that day were people that the program had every ingredient in it to teach us to love ourselves, to love each other, to love God, and to have a connection with a higher power that would lead to peace. And so I kept coming back. And it's amazing to me. I mean, that's almost 40 years that I kept coming back. And certainly, and I was told early on, trust the process, Bonnie. Your program will not be like anybody else's. Just trust the process and keep coming back. And, you know, I can say today my life is amazing. And like everybody else that talks about being in this program for any length, and I'm comfortable with food. What a gift that is. And so, you know, my message is, regardless, just keep coming back because it does work. And the other thing I had to get it was I committed every day to what I was supposed to do. And to me, commitment is doing even what I don't want to do. And that's worked for me. So, you know, I hope this has helped somebody. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bonnie M. Kristen R., your turn, and then Joanne B. will come after you.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. And going to any lengths, you know, for someone like me, going to any lengths can actually become a line of abuse. I can go to any lengths to be perfect, to perfect my food, perfect my relationships, perfect my emotions, which is always why I ate, was the underlying emotions, the underlying agitation. A week ago, you know, I was sitting in my car crying out to God, please fix me, just fix me. And I just felt that gift of desperation come over me, that surrender, and that I realized, you know, that might be the only thing in my life that I can get perfect is when I get on my knees and I ask God for help, you know, help. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling anxious. Help me. Help me. That's the only thing that I seem to be able to do perfectly. And the truth is that that's the only thing I'm supposed to do perfectly in this program. This program is not about getting it absolutely 100% right all the time. I do the steps every day. And every day it looks different. Every day my step work looks different. My fears, my resentments, my gratitudes, it all looks different every day. And that's okay. Because I was an if only, you know, if only I was thinner, if only I ate the right things, if only. And I still am. Even after working the steps, I can still get into that crazy mindset of, and I shouldn't even call it crazy, it seems to be my default state of, if only things were a certain way, then I would be okay. And so I have to be very careful to take this book in its totality. You know, there is nowhere in the big book that it says, just be perfect and you'll be fine. It doesn't say that. If anything, it says the opposite, spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. That's the most important thing to remember for me, that I need to be willing to accept what is imperfect about me and to know that that's part of my Creator's plan. So if you're out there and you're struggling and you're feeling sad and lonely, don't give up. Don't give up. Ask for the gift of desperation to pray, to ask for God to come into your heart and help you, because it can happen and it can, and these steps do work. Just keep working it. And that's it. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. Joanne B., your turn, and then Ida will come in after you. Then we'll open up the lines again after Ida. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. This is Joanne B. from Recovered in Texas. Thank you for letting me share today. It what stood out to me was if you have decided. And when I first came in, I mean, I had decided that I would do whatever it took. I didn't know exactly what that meant, and I honestly balked at things that my sponsor told me to do, and I felt like that little kid digging her heels in the dirt, and if we were face to face, I could just see her rolling her eyes, but she never gave up on me, and we were very different, she was ill, physically ill, and also newly recovered, I guess. So someone had said that if you're willing to go to any length, a fence post could sponsor you. And I held on to that because I knew she was new, and she had wisdom to, when she didn't know the answer, she would say, hey, call three people, and she would give me who I needed to call because she trusted those people. And so that's what I'm really grateful for. I'm grateful that she had a pattern to follow, and she gave that pattern to me. And until I was able to get my own confidence, and even in points like, why was I even in the room, you know, I honestly, there were times I wasn't really sure I belonged there and belonged here, but I just held on to the stories of what I hear in this room, the recovery, the blessing of that, and I knew that I had the symptoms, but my story was different, and so I easily would have talked myself out. And so with this, I made that decision took the action and did it whether I wanted to or not. And sometimes I didn't do it, and then I had to fess up and keep plugging. And I'm here today, and I'm so grateful to have a little over 2 years, I don't know, maybe 2.5, and of recovery. And I'm so grateful for all of you in this room. No matter where you are, you bless me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Ida A., your turn, and then we'll open up the lines again. Ida A., star one, please. Well, in the interest of time, let's open up the lines to see if there are additional folks that want to comment on paragraph 2, page 58 of the big book, and then we'll come back to Ida.
Beatrice Walding.
Daniel. Who came in? Rebecca.
Cheryl
T.
F.
Cindy
Cheryl
D.
Cheryl F.
Daniel
Cindy
C.
D. Daniel C.
Beatrice L.
I got you, Beatrice. Thanks. You're number
one.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
And Robin P. I don't know if you got me.
I didn't. Hi, Robin. Let's go back and see what we have left over, okay? And that's about six of you. Okay, this is the order that I got. Beatrice O., Rebecca T., Cheryl S., Cindy D., Danielle C., and Robin P. So we're going to go first with Beatrice. Start one, Beatrice, real quick, like.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry about that. So this is Beatrice from Northern California, recovering food addict. And the part that I really like is you're willing to go to any length. So I think for me, going to any length and taking these steps, it was just not the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. I needed a lot more. And I believe that these steps are, it's like an open invitation from God to for me to transform my life. And that's what's happened over the last 40 years. And, you know, and I've struggled along the way. And I thought it was because I hadn't decided. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because I haven't got that, psychic change. Or maybe it's because I never made that decision. And so October 29th, 2018, I finally threw up my hands and said, I surrender. But this time when I surrendered all of me, not just a part of me. And after every struggle, I would say, okay, I'm willing to surrender this, but not that. So I guess what I've surrendered, well, I don't guess. What I surrendered was I had to stop judging. And I stopped trying to be perfect. And I stopped being obsessed about going back to day one. And I had to stop the negative thinking. And my abstinence is 3 meals a day, no flour, no sugar, and God in between, and maybe some floating fruit. But where I'm at today is any length for me was a lot more than just the steps. Because of my background of abuse and trauma and PTSD, I had to understand the hijacking of my brain. I had to understand how I disassociated my reality with food. And that required going to any length. It required more than just 12 steps. It required a lot of work for me to let go and let God and understand. So with that, I'll pass. And so what I just want to say is any length means any length, not just the 12 steps. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And Ida A., if you're there, we'll stick you in someplace here towards the bottom. But right now, we're going to go with Rebecca T., and then after Rebecca, we'll come Cheryl S. Hi, Rebecca. Quick star one, please.
Oh, hi, lovely ladies. It's Rebecca T. And gentlemen, it's Rebecca T. I'm now in the Northwest Washington. What's come from these shares and this phrase is let go and let God. I've been blessed with recovery. But it hasn't been perfect in the sense that, the cravings have left and the thoughts have left. But then, you know, life happened and change happened. And, I do find that when I don't stay connected to the program as diligently as I have in the past, and, when I lessen my meetings and, I let life kind of start getting in control. And I started becoming less disconnected to my higher power and to my program as I was so crazy busy with the move and with working and new jobs. And so anyway, life. And I went on this long hike this weekend, and I was alone. And that was what I realized, I was alone with God, with my creator. And I just yelled out, surrender. And I was able to reconnect again, asking for, the right answers and asking questions and just being open. And so thankfully I had a really good and long, intense meeting with my higher power for those hours of hiking. And it's brought me back to just to remember, to pause and to know how important it is that I can't be of help and I cannot be of service to anyone else unless I am staying connected and listening. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you very much, Rebecca T. Cheryl S., your turn, and then Daniel C. will come in after you.
Hi, this is Cheryl F., as in Frank, from Canada, Manitoba. I'm very grateful to be on this phone meeting this morning. I am 5 days abstinent, and I'm feeling absolutely like I can breathe again. Three people from OA reached out to me last week when I called in. Very grateful for that. So the connections and the reach outs are keeping me on track, and turning to my higher power is very, very important. I ask my higher power, who happens to be Jesus Christ, to keep me strong each day. And yesterday I actually celebrated my 2-year sobriety in AA, so grateful for that, and it's one day at a time. With the meeting, the reading, I can't remember what I was going to say, but just a very good reading, and thank you that I can come on these meetings and just be heard, and the feedback and the sharing is just fantastic. So I wish you guys another good day, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl F. Daniel C., and then Robin P.
Hi.
No, that Daniel. Wasn't Cheryl S. I'm Cheryl S. I think someone else came in. I'm sorry. Hello?
Hi, go ahead, Daniel C.
Okay. Hi, yeah, this is Daniel C. I'm a compulsive overeater from Canada, also in Manitoba, and I'm grateful for this meeting. I wanted to express my gratitude for the shares this morning and for the connections that I've been able to make in this program through this phone meeting. I'm very, very grateful for three weeks of abstinence. And for me, you know, being willing to go to any length, what that has meant for me this time around, I've had many attempts at abstinence over the past year and a half that I've been coming away, and I've relapsed many, many times. And this past, you know, attempt at getting abstinent, I had to have that gift of desperation, and I really had it this time. I felt like I was, you know, the walking dead, really. I was in bad shape, and, you know, I was willing to do whatever I had to do. I was willing to follow a entirely abstinent food plan that I never thought I would have the willingness to do. And it's amazing. Like, 3 weeks in now, I've been able to do that one day at a time with the help of my higher power, obviously, and the people that I've connected to through this phone meeting. And just talking to them every day, to my sponsor. And you know, that entire absence, and then also having the willingness to reach out and talk to people. And, you know, I really appreciate what's been shared about just giving up trying to be perfect. I am such a chronic perfectionist in everything, and it's, you know, I'm loving the fact that I can have freedom from that today, because all I have to do is show up and try my best and not try to do it alone. I can't do it alone. And that has become very clear to me. So, yeah, thanks so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Daniel C. Robin P., then Ida A. Hi, Robin.
Hi, this is Robin T. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and thanks so much, Mel, for your service, always. You know, this is such a great paragraph, because when I work with sponsees and when my sponsor works with me, he asks me, are you willing to go to any length to recover? And I really ask my sponsees to pray about it and to let me know the next day. And I've had some people say, no, they're not. And, you know, it's like, are you willing to reach out, make a call instead of reaching the food? Are you willing to reach out to a human being instead of an inanimate object that you think is going to fill you up. And some people come back and they just say, you know what, I realize I'm just not ready. And then some people are. And, you know, it's just one day at a time. And I also, just my abstinence is I don't binge, I don't vomit, I don't starve, I eat 3 meals a day. And, you know, I'm very, very grateful for that. And I had a very long history of anorexia, bulimia, overeating. To me, it was all the same thing, all trying to use food to numb out and not be who I'm meant to be and not to be present to God and my fellows and to myself. And it's such a miracle a day to time. I'm coming up on 5 years, and it's a miracle today. I spent entire days in the food, and I don't do that today, thank God. I'm eternally grateful for this program and for this particular group. And with that, I pass, and God bless everybody. It was a really wonderful abstinence day. Thanks so much, Mel.
Yeah, you're welcome, Robin P. Hey, I made a mistake, y'all. I need to scoot in Cindy D. She was technically after Cheryl F. like Frank. Sorry about that, Cindy. If you want to go ahead and take your three, and Ida, there'll be plenty of time for your three.
Melanie, thank you so much for your service. And this is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And, you know, I was thinking about my recovery and, you know, how my willingness to go to any length has gotten deeper as my time in recovery has gotten deeper. And, you know, for me, I feel like my process has been slow. And one of the messages that I've gotten from my higher power is just wait. Just wait. You know, give up your impatience, give up your perfectionism, and just wait. You may feel like you're, you know, struggling, or you may feel uncomfortable, but just wait. You know, I'm working miracles behind the scenes, and I'm starting to see that, and I'm learning. You know, that's, to me, one of the greatest gifts of this program is the learning that I'm having in terms of learning about myself and learning how to become my true self, you know, to get my voice back. I realized that I wasn't doing a very good job of taking care of myself and getting my voice back and being stronger and really understanding the difference between surrender and giving up. I think I had so many times given up. And for me, giving up is, you know, kind of like turning your back on it, walking away, saying, okay, I failed at that. Let me just move on to something else. Where surrender now for me feels like stepping aside and letting my higher power do his magic and just doing what I'm supposed to do, doing my footwork, staying abstinent, doing service. And I continue to be amazed by the gifts of the program. And, I mean, the small things like being on this meeting and every person that shares says something that I needed to hear and something I needed to be reminded of. And, you know, every time I get an outreach call, feeling so connected to that person on such a deep level and, you know, seeing my higher power at work all around me all the time. There's so many gifts in this program, and I think one of the other, you know, greatest gifts for me is the peace and serenity that comes, you know, that monkey voice in my head quiets down and goes away on most days if I work the program. So I just want to express my gratitude for everyone that's here on the line, and for the newcomers, you know, please do come back, because there's so much here for you if you really want it and you're willing to work for it. Thanks so much. And with that, Melanie, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Cindy D., and apologize for that error. And here we are with Ida D., hanging in there with us all, Ida A., hanging in there all this time. Thanks so much. Here we go. You're three.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for giving me a second shot. Sometimes, you know, when you push those buttons and they don't work, it's just one of those things. And so I have learned through program that actually I can call back in again. You know, I used to just like be a black and white thinker. Anyway, Ida A., grateful, 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 compulsive overeater in Northern British Columbia, and super grateful for this chapter and for all of you. How it works scared me in the beginning. I felt found out. I walked into the rooms of AA, and I was mesmerized by stories, mesmerized. But I felt found out over the dishonesty, and I wanted to keep drinking and I wanted to keep eating. And when I stopped drinking, the food became a giant issue. It has always been a giant issue, but it just grew in volume. And now, stories, your stories feel like God with skin. That's what I'll call it. I feel like your stories, I listen to them, and I feel like your stories are like the graceful, magnificent trees that clutter all over the Rocky Mountain trenches when I fly into work. There's God there. The Creator is there. And I listen to your stories, and as I lean in, I see I'm like all of you. And that's a miracle, because I was terminally unique, as probably many of you sitting out there feel terminally unique, and you have nothing in common, and they don't really get me, and yada, yada, yada. And but because of your stories, I have a group of friends now that I'm learning to trust, and I'm learning to be more honest, more surrendered, that it's never really been about the food. I just finished, I didn't, but other people did, 4 months of rentals on my house, and I spent 22 days without power or light or electricity or heat or, you know, and during that time, I lost my beloved Lucy, who's my heart. He's my heart. Anyway, it's the first loss. It's the first loss I have felt. And I think some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't eat and you lose somebody you love. Wow. Ooh, ooh. Anyway, ooh. I have a history of numbing everything. So I just lived from the neck up. And, you know, during these renos, I met my son with love and kindness and gratitude every day. Oh, my God. Do you know how amazing that is? Drill Sergeant Ida left the building. She left the building. No nagging, no meltdowns. Miracle. That's a miracle. And I can't thank you all enough. Anyway, stories have saved my life. Grew my willingness to put down the food, grew my willingness to reach out with phone contact. Man, if it works for me, it can work with anybody. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But really, I do love my heat. Now that it's back, I'm good. Anyway, bless you all for being here. This stuff works. It works. It is simple. Just do it. Just do it. Just lean in. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Ida A. We have time for a two-minute share. If you want to share for 2 minutes.
This is Cheryl S. I did not share. Someone came in and took the spot.
I think that we had a Cheryl F. like Frank that had 5 days of abstinence that came on earlier. Did you want to share for 2 minutes?
Yes, thank you.
Cheryl S. like Sam. Okay, we'll get you. We got you. 2 minutes, madam.
Thank you, Melanie C. Cheryl S. Thank you, Timekeeper and the Shares. Yeah, I like this paragraph. What I think about as I hear the shares and reflect is that it says our stories disclosed in a general way. I knew what I was like, and I knew what I wanted to be in the now. But the missing link for me was that I didn't know what happened. I had no clue why I was the way I was, even in reading a doctor's opinion. It just wasn't transparent. I needed that step two to get that clarity. Even though my dad, my first qualifier, was the alcoholic and how it affected us, even though I didn't drink, I didn't know what happened. So I had to sort of backtrack a little bit, because every time I tried to keep the food down or have healthy relationships, you know, it just didn't work. So I just kept dissociating and filled that void that now that I've cleared away all that junk, I'm clearing it away. My higher power is able to fill it, my loving higher power. So that's what it was for me. I read this statement the other day about 10 ways we give away our power. And one of those ways is that thinking that God decides who gets what. And I got a lot of feedback from that one sentence. And God didn't decide. If you have decided, I had to decide. But I had to first know what happened to me, who I was. Now that I have the missing link, what I used to be like, I know. I dissociated and used everything, people, places, and things to fill me up. And I now know what happened. And now I can live in the now. I'm so grateful for that I kept coming back. That's the key. I didn't give up. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. And that takes us to the end of the recorded sharing time that we have assigned for today. So we're going to wrap this up like we always do here at A Vision for You. And thank you, everyone, for being of service today in our new month of October service roster. I would like to ask Shannon M. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that up with a serenity prayer as we move on to greeting newcomers, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, good morning, Shannon M. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Shannon M., recovered compulsive reader in Texas. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for